You're listening to DG Talks, a podcast brought to you by Delta Gamma. Each month, a Delta Gamma host will speak on a different topic, covering a wide range of interests for our sisters. We look forward to engaging with you on social media about other topics you would like to hear, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Carly Lorette, Ada Iota, University of Nevada, Reno, joins us today to discuss forgiveness. Carly serves as the church administrator at the Brooks Church in Texas. The content presented is from Carly's perspective with influences from her Christian faith. Listener discretion advised as the content touches on sensitive subjects, including child abuse and sexual abuse.
Forgiveness isn't fair. Very often, in order to consider forgiving someone, we construct elaborate contingencies by which we expect someone to perfectly execute to our satisfaction, or else forgiveness is off the table. How easily our consideration can be sabotaged by unmet expectations outside of our control. I'd like to share with you some principles by which I live my life and find freedom in forgiveness. My name is Carly Lorette, and I'm an alum of the Eta Iota chapter of Delta Gamma at the University of Nevada, Reno. It's true. I'm one of those people I mentioned who set high expectations for how those who have hurt me can earn my forgiveness. For those of you who are familiar with the Enneagram types, I'm an Enneagram 1, which basically translates to justice fighter. I can be very punitive with my actions against wrongdoing, but I'll be the first to tell you that I am grateful for the people in my life who didn't treat me as my actions deserved, but instead offered mercy and ultimately forgiveness. It's humbling. Think for a moment when you received forgiveness from someone, when you had done something from which you weren't sure how you'd recover. I hope that even though it may have taken time, you were eventually met with compassion and forgiveness. The first moment I truly experienced forgiveness like this was when I made the decision to give my life to Christ. It was then that I was overwhelmed by the unfairness of forgiveness. There wasn't anything I could do to deserve it, yet it was offered so freely to me. Now, I know not all of our listeners are Christian, but please hang in there with me. I did not truly know how to forgive as I ought to until I had been forgiven in this way. It left an indelible mark that changed the trajectory of my life. You see, the things I had done in my life were utterly unforgivable. I was convinced that the first time I walked into a church, the walls would burn down around me. Yet, despite my sin and shame, I quickly learned that Christ died for me, and by accepting Him as my Savior, I was forgiven. Forgiveness isn't fair, and I'm glad it's not, because I sure don't deserve it. Now, it's one thing to be forgiven, but to forgive others is something entirely different. A mentor of mine said something to me years ago that I think of often. She said, "Isn't it funny how when someone hurts us, we demand justice? But when we hurt someone, we demand mercy." Maybe you've been lied to, had your name dragged through the dirt, been betrayed by someone you trusted, been mistreated, taken advantage of, or even abused. How could we forgive someone who has done these things to us or may still be doing them? While I may not understand the depth of hurt you've experienced, I can tell you, I know what it's like to feel as though someone has done something so unforgivable that I never thought I could forgive them. I want to read a story of ultimate forgiveness written by a good friend of mine who has given me permission to share it with you today. He was sexually abused for 10 years of his life as a child by a man who his family trusted. Here's his story about how he found victory in Christ to forgive after enduring more than anyone should. These are the words he read in front of the man who abused him during the grueling trial that convicted his abuser. "Hello, my name is Vince Bautista, and I am John Doe number one, according to this case. Please allow me to start from the beginning and tell you how my life has been changed through this evil. When my parents split up, I was 11. I met Richard shortly before that, and he would constantly talk about how awful his family was and how he yearned to be free from their evil ways, from the gang life that surrounded him. With his manipulation and scheming, he worked his way into my home. He drove my father away and pushed my mother to think it was the right thing to do. He devilishly pitted me against my sister and anyone who would not submit to his evil will. So often, any friends I would bring over who would not succumb to his way would be forbidden to ever associate with me again. It was long after he moved into my house that he began to slowly push me to fulfill his sexual desires. It started slow because when he knew if anything were to happen quickly, I would think something was amiss. The master manipulator he is, he used my deep love of Christ to perpetrate his crimes. He started small at first, longer hugs, shoulder rubs, etc. But once he left his pornography for me to find, things started to roll along much more quickly. He would constantly belittle and ridicule me to keep me in my place and keep me in fear of him. He would always force me to earn his form of love, but looking back and seeing how he was continually evil in his ways, I see how he was not showing his love, but his lust for me and his disturbed sense of value. He only wanted to control me as well as the other boys, as he wants to control everything in his life. He controlled me as I was in search of a male figure to look up to. He controls women who have marriage difficulties and husbands who don't pay attention to them. He controls everything in his life that he can. To be honest, I was surprised to see only 10 counts of lewd acts charged against him when the files were charged originally in regards to me, because I remember him abusing me at least once a day from the time he began when I was 12 until my senior year of high school. I can actually name 10 different locations of times he abused me, so I feel this charge for him is lesser than it should be already. So often in our lives, we try to rationalize the horrendous things that happened to us. We say, it wasn't that bad. The people who may have done those acts are not completely evil. They didn't know what they were doing, or they were acting in a fit of passion and are not predisposed to sin. However, with my experience, I have come to realize that this is far from the truth. We, as fallen people from God's perfection, are all predisposed to sin and do evil things which we know are not morally right. We continually fall away from the love of God and spit in his face with our actions. Yet we are given the beautiful gift of his Son, who died for our sins and rose again to give us life, as all of us face death for our iniquity. What is so powerful for us to realize in this amazing grace is we still have a task to fulfill on our journey from this world to our eternity. We are called to flee from our sin and run toward Christ. We are called to admit our shortcomings and pray for forgiveness. I am running as fast as I can towards him, but I know that Richard is running away from God because of the life he has led and the life he is leading and the parts of his life he continues to deny. He is denying being a molester. He is denying being evil in his ways. He is denying the violence he inflicted on so many who didn't come forward, even members of his family he still has under his control. He is saying he is still a Christian, and he is saying he is innocent. Yet 12 people say otherwise. 12 people say he is violent. 12 people say he is a pedophile. 12 people say he is guilty. Your Honor, and people sitting in this court now, please hear me loud and clear. I have no ill will toward Richard. I do not wish him anything but the love of God. My desire is to see him in heaven one day worshiping the Creator of all, as is my desire for all of you this day and always, and my prayer is for everyone here, Richard and his family included. However, I also know that people are stubborn and hard-headed and need to be broken to be changed. My prayer to God for Richard is for him to be broken and for him to be placed out of any possibility to hurt anyone else, whether mentally, with women in troubled marriages, or physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or otherwise with any other boys. Your Honor, I pray that Richard will be sentenced with the maximum amount of time needed for him to be broken and for him to come to repentance. I pray that he is given his punishment for the crimes committed not only against me, but against many others. Please, Your Honor, take away from him what he took away from so many of us. He stole my faith. I pray that he finds his own. As long as it takes, Your Honor. As long as it takes. Reading that is gut-wrenching. And the justice fighter in me wants to go find this guy in his prison cell and tell him what I think about him, as if serving 150 years in prison isn't justice enough. I have to remember God is a God of justice, and Richard will stand accountable for his actions. But while you may not have been dealing with something to the magnitude of what I shared in Vince's story, forgiveness is forgiveness, regardless of the severity of the offense. Forgiveness isn't fair. Now, I'd like to ask you to move from being a listener of this podcast to an active participant. Think of someone who you may be struggling to forgive. Acknowledge the emotions that you're feeling right now. It's okay to feel that way. Now, I want to invite you to shift the ideological paradigm for forgiveness. Have you set expectations, whether spoken or unspoken, by which the offender must meet in order for you to entertain the idea of forgiving them? You see, the challenge with thinking that way is that your response and forgiveness are contingent upon someone else's actions. This doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to the actions that led to this, or that there isn't a need for healing to happen. Forgiving isn't forgetting, and forgiveness does not require reconciliation of the relationship. It simply means that it's your decision. No one can sabotage that. Despite how I personally feel about it, forgiveness isn't about justice. I've had to let go of my need for the consequences to happen before I offer forgiveness. And as much as we may want for someone to pay their penance until we are satisfied, the reality is forgiveness is our choice and does not depend upon the actions or consequences of others. I recently read a quote, but I will tell you, I'm not too sure how to pronounce his last name, so I'm going to give it my best shot. But I think it's Jonathan Lockwood Huey. We'll go with that. But it says, forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. What if you freely offered forgiveness and found freedom from the weight you've been carrying? I want to read you a couple passages of scripture that beautifully illustrate what forgiveness means. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Romans 12:18 through 21 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And these last few verses I want to read to you have a phrase that is near and dear to all of our hearts. Luke 6:27-36 says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. If you are struggling to forgive or even to accept forgiveness, you don't have to do it alone. Right now, right here, you can accept Christ into your heart to truly know forgiveness by silently or out loud praying these words with me. Lord Jesus, I know you love me, and I know you died on the cross for me, and you died for my sins. I pray that you'd cleanse me and forgive me from all my sin. I pray you'd heal me from hurt and pain. I pray you'd free me from anything that's holding me down and holding me back. And most of all, I pray you'll make me yours. You'd make me alive and you'd make me brand new. I say yes to you and I say yes to the life you have for me. Take me now, make me yours, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you made a decision to accept Christ into your heart, I'd love to know and to celebrate with you. And if I can be praying for you in any way, feel free to reach out to me. My email will be in the notes section of this podcast. I would also encourage you to find a Bible-believing Christian church in your area to be a part of and download the free Bible app on your mobile device and dive right in. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of DG Talks. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook at Delta Gamma.